Haunted Texas and Beyond is brought to you by Austin Ghost Tours and RenegadeRadio.net. Here with us is audio engineer Dennis Foley, co-founder of Renegade Radio Stephanie Mueller, and myself, Janine Plummer, owner of Austin Ghost Tours and Haunted Texas and Beyond. We're here to talk about all of the strange things that happened after my conversation with Gail during my first interview, and in particular around her ghost story about Chad Littlefield and Chris Kyle. As we were talking during this second podcast, a thunderstorm emerged and crazy things started to happen. We start with Gail retelling her story about the Texas State Cemetery.
I have some friends that were interested in Chris Kyle. And at the time, I heard of him, but I didn't really know exactly what his deal was. But I knew that he was a sniper and that type of thing, but I didn't follow him. They wanted me to go out to Texas State Cemetery with them. This was right after Chris Kyle had been buried there. So I said, sure, let's go. So I'll meet you there. They drove in their car. I drove in mine. And we met up. And we walked in. And we were looking around and didn't see his grave. And, of course, my first time being there, I walked the whole grounds and saw everything. And it was awesome. And we sat and talked for at least an hour, hour and a half. And then they decided it's time to go. And so I was...
It was becoming dusk.
Yeah, it's getting dark and it's time to go. So we walked out. I walked them to their car. And I was walking back to my car. And then I'm an intuitive. And all of a sudden I heard, I'm over here. Come on in. I'm over here. I'm like, oh, what's that? And I didn't want to go back in because I'm not used to being in downtown Austin. And it was getting dark. And I thought that, okay, I'm going in because, you know. They're talking to me, so I go.
It felt very strong.
I had to go in.
It was
in.
A very powerful draw.
Yeah. So I walk in, and I'm just hearing this voice, and it was very quick. I happened upon his grave. And
you had said that literally you followed the voice to his grave. Which was...
And there it was. I turned around and...
Pretty obvious place.
There it was. I mean, there was really nothing. There was no headstone. I think there was a picture of him there, maybe. Some flags. But anyway, it was obviously him. And I sit there. And I stood in front. And intuitively, he's speaking to me. And he's telling me that he's misunderstood. That something wasn't true. And that he wanted people to know that this... He was misrepresented. It wasn't actually how it went down, so to speak. Didn't know exactly. I still don't know what he's talking about. But, and I'm getting this information. It's going quick. And, but I'm also not concentrating too much. I want to get out. The sun's going down. I said, listen, Mr. Kyle, I got to go. I promise you I'll be back. And I just left. And I usually don't do that. I usually stay and try to really feel out what's going on and inquire and all that. But I didn't. I left. And I think a couple years went by, and I finally went back. And I felt really bad about it. But
you felt bad about what?
About waiting years. I should have gone back, like, the next day, the next week, but I didn't.
And you felt bad because... he was urgent, or it was just an intensity.
He obviously had something to say.
And wanted to say it. And then you just shut it down.
And I just, exactly.
Gotta go.
Yeah,
gotta
I didn't
go.
Know much about him, but I felt
and
bad.
It was getting dark in a cemetery in Austin, and you were like, I hear you're trying to communicate, but gotta go.
Right. So and I don't travel in Austin by myself. My friends left and went to Thailand. And so they couldn't go back with me because they were gone. And I, you know, didn't have very many people who really wanted to go. So I waited and waited. I finally went back.
When you went back the second time, did you feel any kind of anything?
No.
And it was gone?
Yes.
So when we were doing our podcast the last time and you told that story... Mm-hmm. while you were telling that story and speaking of your regret, your head goosebumps.
Yeah.
You're like, look at my arms. Look at my arms. They're just full of, like, and generally speaking, in The Invisible, when you have a physical reaction like goosebumps of the hair on your neck standing up, you're saying something that's true. Mm-hmm. That's what that means. And so you said that, and then I want to, so this is what happened during the interview. It felt the energy in the room changed while you were telling that story. Your body changed while you were telling that story. So it was just a vibe, and now we're having chills again. So there's something's being said that needs to be said. But I'm going to tell everybody what happened to me after you left.
Mm-hmm.
So the house was empty. I had let my dogs out. So I have two dogs, and we were finished, and I cleaned up the dishes and put the dogs outside and went upstairs to my second story where my bedroom and bathroom is. And I was in my bathroom and not thinking about anything, but all of a sudden I hear like these footprints running as fast as they can up the steps, like da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And then my dogs come like bursting into the bathroom, and they were outside, and I thought, I close that. I never like leave the door ajar. You have to close it when you put the dogs out, or they'll just bust right back in again, you know. And so I was confused, and I thought, well, that's weird, because I guess I left it open. So I went downstairs, and the door was shut tightly closed. Something had opened the door and let the dogs in. And I immediately associated it with the experience we had just had while telling the story of this Texas State Cemetery and your experience. And I was like, whoa, something's here.
Mm-hmm.
And it was interesting. My dog was just very alert. My beagle doesn't really care about anything, but my other kind of rescue dog is super sensitive. And so he was just like being different. So I sat on the sofa, which is directly across from the door that I'm speaking of, that goes to the yard. And while I'm sitting there, and my dog is literally so scared, he's shaking and trying to seal my face. You know, and I'm just like I'm sitting there to be calm him, to just be like, what's happening, Hamilton? And the door opened. The door just opened. And it was about 6 inches, and it didn't move. It didn't close back again, like there's some wind somewhere, or open a little bit more, it stayed in that position. And I looked over, and my dog is staring at the door and totally freaking out. And usually he spends his time up in my bedroom, on my bed, where he can see out the front window, but he would not go upstairs by himself.
He wanted with you.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And he was just, like, really scared, and he's staring at that door, and then, so I sit with him, and I'm like, well, you know, and so I'm holding him, and I decide I'm going to just turn the TV on, because that's thunder in the background, storm a-coming, and the show that I just flipped on the TV because I thought I'm going to hold the dog for a while, might as well watch TV. On this, it comes the show, and on the show, it's these two people walking outside, they're having a conversation, all of a sudden the storm comes with wind and rain and thunder, and then my door slams shut. Mm-hmm. And then I'm telling that story, and just before I told that story, there was the thunder outside, and that's the first thunder of today. So that's interesting.
That's perfect.
So I associated that with what we had stirred up. We had stirred something up by talking about the... And so I also want to say that when you told me that story on part one, I had no idea who Chris Kyle was.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't say anything because I thought, probably this is somebody everybody knows. But I'm not a big news person,
mm-hmm.
So I just didn't know.
Right.
And then I started really looking into it. I was like, who is this person who's in my house? And I called Carla, and I said, Carla, I think Chris Kyle's in my house. Somebody's in my house.
Yeah.
Something's happening. And I told you the whole story. But
there's a couple things that happened that I didn't say, but somewhat relates to this. Like, coming to Janine's house and talking about this part one.
It's the dogs shaking from the rain.
Right. And then I'm apologizing as I'm going home from this house because I feel bad. I let him down. I waited years and I didn't go back. And I got home and my phone was drained. Zero. And then
meaning the battery?
The battery. And then when we had lunch, that day we went to the cemetery, and my phone was so hot in my purse that it kind of burned me when I'm on the outside of my purse, you know, it's on the inside. And I'm just wondering, does this have anything to do, or is it just like a bad battery? You know,
well,
I don't know.
I mean, it's,
but it hasn't happened.
Coincidence? I don't think
yeah. So. So I turned off my phone.
We're dealing with this issue. We're talking about this issue, and then so let me just go backwards and say, we talked. I called you, and mm-hmm. I was like, something was in my house. I think it was, you know, Chris Kyle or Chad Littlefield, but, you know, something is responding to us talking about
right.
this. And you said, you know, I just called my daughter to tell her that about the interview and about the profound regret that you felt when you were driving home, the deep, like, I still feel it.
Yeah. I do, I feel
somebody,
it.
Somebody, he was reaching out to you, mm-hmm. it was a prime moment, and you couldn't get it back again.
No.
And you probably won't ever get it back again. And that you had lost it. And you called yourself an empath, which is because you don't like the word psychic. But for someone like you, who's a healer, who, you know, I imagine that was a pretty devastating feeling.
Yeah, it weighs on me.
Yeah.
And I got to let it go, but it's still there, and it still weighs on me.
Yeah.
And
so you were set, and then you got home, and your battery or your phone was completely... So batteries being drained is universally known all over the world as kind of a sign that there's energy around
mm-hmm.
that is different.
Well, as you were talking
Everybody
about
knows that, who does anything with ghosts.
Kyle here, the first time I came,
yeah.
you know, I felt his presence here big time. I got goosebumps and, you know, you're just feeling it. It's kind of like this pack. When I put my hand on this pack, it's like, oh, you can feel something. Then when I put it on, it's burning my lower back.
So that's the way it communicates to you.
Talk about the pack. Nobody knows about the pack. No? No, we cannot talk about the pack?
We can't. I happen to have a backpack from...
Start over again. So bounce off of what Carla just said. The pack, and then...
You're referring to the backpack that I brought to this part two of this conversation that we started. And it is a backpack that mm-hmm. was served 3 tours in Iraq with someone that I know and a couple of t-shirts. And so I said...
It's on the back of my chair.
It's on the back of your chair.
Right.
And you put it on before...
Well, I walked up to it and I touched it first. Yeah. And I didn't say anything, but, you know, I can feel this vibration. That's interesting. And then when you told me it was from Iraq, I thought, well, let's put it on right now.
Yeah.
So I put
and
it
I
on.
Felt her back, and it was burning up.
Yeah.
And it was just like the... So I use that as a tool to help in whatever the communication is that's out there. It's trying to communicate with us. And I believe it's those two gentlemen. And it's what we do.
Mm-hmm.
So...
But I feel energy.
Yeah.
I can feel energy in the room. I can feel energy from people. I can feel energy from inside your body. But when I put this backpack on, immediately it went to my lower back, and just the heat was, I had to take it off. It was too much.
Yeah. You'll have to listen to episode 1. We started off that show talking about what is it to be a psychic, why you don't like the word psychic.
Mm-hmm.
When did you start feeling things that other people can't see, hear, or feel? And we've already done that. We've already had that conversation.
Right.
But yeah, so it's all messages, and the lights in my house just blinked.
I might add, if there is any pops or glitches or whatever, that's probably the electrical storm going on.
Yeah,
because I'm noticing your lights are going on and off, and then obviously we're all connected to the electricity grid here. That might hit mine. We're still recording. It just might go boop.
There goes the lights.
We're having a brownout.
Everyone came into my house. I said, "Do you feel like it's getting really dark?"
and it just this darkness. And then we started talking, and then it was just. But there's a lot of energy that happens with electrical storms. So if there's anything that wants to communicate, we're listening. Any messages, but I also know that generally, sometimes when you ask, but it's usually when you're preoccupied with something else that messages make their way in. But we're here and we're paying attention to your story.
Interrupt anything, but when there is rain hitting against a certain metallic surface, there is something that sounds communicative in that. That's why I held up. It's almost like there was, and it's happening around 29. Everything past 28 needs to be examined. And I'll stop there. Talking, that is.
Okay, I'm feeling like a pool right there.
By the door. She's pointing to the door. We're in the same
and
room.
And it was a sound that I heard. I guess no one else heard it, but it was like a low guttural sound. And I just want to gently walk over here for a second. I won't talk. I'm just going to feel.
It's the chair scraping.
No, I'm here to talk.
Okay, I'm feeling energy right here, and it's tall. I don't know, and for some reason it goes up and it goes up here. I'm getting goosebumps on my hands and my body, and I'm feeling the energy right here.
Breathing, not you.
What are you saying, Dennis?
Breathing.
So Dennis is saying that with his audio equipment, I can't hear it, but he hears breathing.
Yeah, there's an entity here, there's a soul here, and I'm feeling it quite strongly.
How does it feel?
Well, I feel a little nauseous right now, and it's because I get that feeling when there's usually a big personality or something big. So that's the feeling I get, but
can we do a yes or a no? Can we play with the lights saying yes and no? Yes is one, no is two.
Are you Chris Kyle? Can you make the lamp blink again if you're Chris Kyle?
If you're Chad Littlefield, you make
blinked.
The light blink? It did blink.
What was one?
Yes.
Okay.
Sorry. Okay, I spoke too soon. I'm sorry.
Okay. Well, that's my feeling.
You're supposed to ask the question and leave a certain amount of time.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Up to 30 seconds.
Up to 30 seconds, yeah. So let's try that again.
Okay, Chris, if you're here, could you dim the lights again? We just want to make sure this is you. Try again. Okay, is Littlefield here?
Chad Littlefield,
are you here?
state the rules. One blank for yes, 2 months for no.
There's three lights in this room that are on. The two in the farthest away were blinking simultaneously when there wasn't electricity. And it was just really profound. The third light is not doing anything.
Anytime I do this, it means I'm hearing a voice, and just at 36:25, I heard a male voice say something.
There's something in your cabinet here of liquor. And I get the impression that they're telling me about the liquor that they drank. What do you have in
here? Oh, just tequila. There's probably tequila, different flavored vodkas, brandy. Bloody Mary mix.
Okay, that may be interesting. I would like to, if I can find any information on that, but I'm just getting like, man, there's a liquor.
So alcohol is part of this. The door and alcohol.
Yeah.
Or
you know, this is a very heavy subject. It's a sad subject, but I am getting some good times.
See, I never had...
I'm getting good times.
You know, I will tell you, my take on Chris Kyle was he never knew what hit him, and he had a heavy life. This is what the message I felt, was he had a pretty heavy life, and he didn't know what hit him. He was like 1 minute shooting and, you know, all right, and the next he was floating like we all hear people say. And I think he was like, so this is it.
Mm.
You know, so this is it. I don't feel pain. I don't feel anguish. I don't feel anything. I feel, we're putting some bottles down on the table.
What kind of bottles?
Well, I'm going to get the tequila. That's peppermint schnapps. I don't have.
I was going to say, don't drink.
Just
putting the table, the drinks down on the table to welcome anybody who'd like to come up to the table.
Yeah, there's a reference for me of alcohol, and I get a good vibe. It was like happy times. So.
Yes. Happy times, yes.
So, can you explain something, Dennis, audio engineer? While walking around and she's feeling and the lights are going on and off, you were expressing without using words, your hands, like I'm hearing. What was going on for you?
So there's a couple things. There was a number of breathing when people were removed from the mic. The mic was picking up a breathing. Anytime the rain hit something metallic, oftentimes it said that a form of communication uses that energy of that sound, because audio is energy, to convey a message, to convey intelligible language. So I was hearing some sort of talking going on there. Then I was hearing, anytime I tapped the side of my headphone, that was me indicating that I'm hearing a voice, that I hear a distinct word or phrase or language. So when I marked those, I said 26, I said 28, 39, and then there was some more activity around 42. So these are all spots where I'm hearing something underneath the current of the conversation that we're having, or within the silent moments here. And they usually manifesting when rain hits something or a knocking occurs, something like that.
So and that's an echo of when you were on the telephone and I was talking. It was an energy from my voice coming through the sound of the phone and onto your ear that was able to pick up that and make a intelligible something.
And it wasn't your voice.
No,
it was saying your words.
It was repeating what I said,
yes.
Which is Chad Littlefield was there, and it repeated that. And can you Dennis, just give us an idea of what equipment we have here. How is this picking up the sounds?
So when I usually go out on an investigation, one of my favorite microphones to use is a shotgun mic. So we're recording this with two shotgun mics, and you're going to notice a lot of room ambience. And there's a purpose behind that. That's not because the audio producer got lazy, but it's because these mics are incredibly sensitive to vibrations, whether they be within the conversation or something trying to manifest itself. I've had tremendous amount of luck using shotgun mics and gathering electronic voice phenomenon. So we're recording with that. I only record in wave audio, so I'm using what's called a Zoom F4. It's just a recording device, a digital recording device. And the higher quality information that's being recorded, the more likely you are to pick up Class A, Class B, Class B, C EVPs in a more clear manner. I try to avoid MP3 and lower sound formats. So this is a very high-end professional recording device using two very high-end microphones that are typical for gathering sound ambience in the environment. They also are very effective in getting
paranormal activity. And you're also wearing headphones, so you're hearing on what level that I can't hear.
Right. Sometimes when you hear a disembodied voice, sometimes that is just loud and clear. You can hear it like I'm talking now. However, with a lot of electronic voice phenomenon, as the name suggests, electronic, it's being formulated within the activity or the machinations of the machine itself. So sometimes these EVPs don't appear until after you get home or to your studio and start reviewing the audio, but sometimes you can actually hear them design themselves or create themselves within the recording session. So the stuff that I'm marking right now is the stuff that I'm hearing real time. Now, when I get back to the studio, I'll listen back and go, oh my God, I didn't hear that. And that may have, according to theory, created itself, gelled itself, designed itself during the transition from audio to studio. So sometimes these things just don't appear until you get back to the studio.
Thank you for listening to Haunted Texas and Beyond, podcast brought to you by Austin Ghost Tours and RenegadeRadio.net. Want to have your own ghostly experience? Sign up for a tour or a paranormal investigation at AustinGhostTours.com. Also, check out more episodes on RenegadeRadio.net, our YouTube channel, and all your favorite podcast platforms, as well as all the extra content on RenegadeRadio.net. See you next time.